Welcome to Pod Drop. I'm your host, Mark Stanyush, and this week I want to talk about the number of delays in the video game industry that we found out about this week and how we might tie it into some bigger news that we found out about not too long ago. And that is, of course, that the Xbox Series X will not have any exclusives for the first couple years. Now, this news was met, was basically very divisive, and it's a little bit confusing, and it's a little unclear what exactly Microsoft is trying to say. So I'm here to, I guess, speculate on how I think this news is going to manifest in its the release of the new system, and if that has anything to do with all of these delays. So just for those who didn't hear, Microsoft, the head of Xbox Game Studios, Matt Booty, he announced that as our content comes out over the next year, 2 years, all of our games, sort of like PC, will play up and down the family of devices. We want to make sure that if someone invests in Xbox between now and Series X, that they feel that they made a good investment and that we're committed to them with content. So what they're saying is, when the new Halo game comes out, it's not going to be exclusive to the Series X. It will also play on the Xbox One series of consoles. The same goes for whatever, the Forza series, the racing series, and so on. Now, this isn't like very new, right? Like, if you look at the history of consoles, often as a new one comes out, the install base is, you know, so much smaller than the one that's already been established that publishers, whether, you know, first party or third party, will release a game on both platforms. Like Call of Duty Ghosts came out on 360 and PS3 as well as PS4 and Xbox One. And same with Assassin's Creed 4. First party, you see that a little bit less. The biggest example I can think of is a little bit further, one generation back, looking at Zelda Twilight Princess came out for GameCube a couple weeks after, actually. It came out for Wii, which was a release, a launch day title. So, are they saying, or I guess if you read this and just take it word by word, it could just simply be, you know, Xbox will have, or Xbox One will have a Halo 6 and, you know, copy in a box. We'll say Xbox One on the box. You put the disc in, it works on Xbox One. I guess you put the disc in Xbox Series X, it will work because everything's supposed to be backwards compatible. But if you buy the Xbox Series X version, you put it in the Xbox One and it doesn't work. That's where I'm getting lost. What I think is actually going to happen, and I think that we've seen some hints and signs of it, is that they may try to just drop the entire idea of a game only being working on one console. And I'll bring iPhone up just to kind of for an example of how it works, and it's not as far-fetched. And though it hasn't reached consoles, when you buy an iPhone right now, you buy an iPhone, whatever, iPhone XR or XS or whatever they're at right now, and you can play whatever iPhone game there is, right? If you have an iPhone 9, you could, or I think they might skip 9. If you have an iPhone 8, you can play whatever iPhone game, you know, iPhone 7, you could probably still play everything. And now if you go to iPhone 6, there might be a couple, maybe it has to do with the operating software. Can you install the newest update? Maybe that update is only compatible with a few games. You go back to an iPhone 4, now you can hardly play any games. But no one has an iPhone 4, you know, and no one with an iPhone 4 is a power user that expects to be playing games. Like, iPhone has clearly nailed this sort of like balance and kind of unwritten rule with their consumers, where it's like, hey, you don't have to upgrade every time, but you're gonna have to upgrade eventually, right? And I think Xbox is trying to match this. So I bring up Red Dead Redemption, and in the months leading up to Red Dead Redemption 2, stores started to stock their shelves with copies of Red Dead Redemption 1, which is an Xbox 360 game, yet it was in an Xbox One case. And there was some sort of text, like a little ribbon, I guess, on the top of the cover, right below the where it says Xbox One, and it says playable on both Xbox One and Xbox 360. And I can't say with certainty they did this for any other game, but like when I saw that, it was this sort of like bizarre. We make our own rules. Like, who's stopping us from putting this 360 game in an Xbox One case? Who cares? It runs on both systems. And I don't see them going away from something like that. Perhaps what I envision and what I hope, because it is a consumer-friendly idea, is that these games will just come in a box that says Xbox, and you can put it into your Xbox One. You can put it into your Xbox Series X. The game works. If I buy it for my Xbox One, because that's all I have and can afford right now, and then a year later, I say, you know what, I can finally splurge and buy that Series X. I don't need to buy the game again for Series X. I just pop the disc that I know is going to at least work in that other system, and I would hope that it would work just to its full capabilities. That is to say that the game is on one disc and the code and all that, whether it's disc or download, whatever you want to call it, that file exists. And how it runs on different systems doesn't change, you know, the makeup of the game. The games can scale to the system that it's on. Now, does that make the Xbox Series X less, I don't know, appealing? Especially less appealing to buy at launch? Like, I don't even have a 4K TV, so why would I spend all this money if I can play the same game on my Xbox? That being said, what it does do is it builds the ecosystem that I'm already so invested into. And when I finally do want to upgrade, I have a library of games, and every game I add that is plays better on Xbox Series X, the same way that they kind of promote games playing better on the Xbox One X now. It's so confusing with the name conventions, I apologize, but I could see that happening, and I think that is super consumer-friendly. Think of the old model. I have a GameCube. Let's say I can't afford a Wii. I buy Twilight Princess. It's great. And then the Wii comes out, and I want to, you know, play it on the Wii. I can sure pop the GameCube disc in and play with my GameCube controller, but I don't get the perks and the benefit of playing the Wii version unless I buy the Wii version. And that's another $80 or $60 or whatever it was back then. In this world, the game can seamlessly transfer up and down, as they said. I like that expression, on the ecosystem. And I think that is something that is incredibly consumer-friendly. And though I think marketing-wise, it's going to be hard to sell that message. And I think like Xbox has been doing a lot is they're ambiguous when they make announcements like this. And they like to react to what the I guess the consensus, what the zeitgeist kind of their reaction. And I think in this case, everyone's saying kind of the similar thing to me. And that is, this is a consumer-friendly move that people are unsure of whether that translates to good marketing. And I think that it does have an effect on the industry. And that's proven by these recent game delays. So just off the top of my head, we had Cyberpunk, I think it's 2076. Oh no. Cyberpunk 2077. What was I thinking? Cyberpunk 2077 was supposed to be this huge release coming out this spring, and it's been bumped to September, I believe. Same with Marvel's Avengers from Crystal Dynamics Studio. Massive, I think it was slated for May. It was also bumped to the fall. We had Final Fantasy VII Remake. That was bumped. Dying Light 2 quietly bumped back. All these games are being, you know, moved closer to the release of the next-gen consoles. And it's kind of a dangerous place, right? The install bases are big, but releasing a game once the new console is out, or very close to when a new console is out, is a difficult proposition to ask for customers who are diehard fans and are like, I'm about to spend $500, $600 on a shiny new system. Am I really going to invest more into my library for this system? But what I'm speculating is that the PlayStation 5 takes a similar path that the Xbox has chosen. And that is to say, will maybe drop the idea of an exclusive game. At least I hope so. And maybe they, maybe this might be their biggest mistake or their smartest decision to stick with what they know and is to have a box that says PS5 and a box that says PS4 and for the PS5 game to not work in the PS4. Like, it's worked for this many years. Why change it now? But at the very least, these publishers are maybe as unsure as I am on what the next step is. And one thing they do know is that if the Xbox promise of this up-to-down kind of generational disappearing, like the lines that the blurring of the lines between generations, maybe that gives them the freedom to say, hey, we need to polish our game, of course. That's the company line for all of these. When you want to make the best game possible, it takes a little bit of extra time. A lot of them are also saying we want to avoid crunch time because there's a big stigma against crunch, as there should be. No employee should have to work 90-hour weeks, etc. But I think a part of this, and what's not being said, is these publishers are holding their breath to figure out exactly what releasing a game on the next generation looks like. And if there's a way that they can capitalize on both markets by perhaps those generations not even demanding individual SKUs, that is to say individual games and boxes and all that, maybe it makes the decision to wait till the fall that much more appealing. So that's all I wanted to talk about this week. Check the Pod Drop feed for more video game news. I talked last week about the Super Smash Bros. Character reveal and the upcoming second Fighter Pass. So if you're a fan of that series, definitely listen and stay tuned for more. Thanks for listening.